Chapter 14. Secrets of Æthelweard. Grim pushed himself to his feet with his halberd, Talon by his side, chirruping nervously. They were atop a lichen-clad slope of rock. Above their heads stretched the undulating shape of the River Vitalis, strange glimmerings of light playing across its underside. Other stormcasts were rising to their feet around him, shaking off the effects of the transition to this hidden bower. "Beautiful, isn't it?" Gardas said, sitting nearby, his hammer across his knees. He was gazing out over the slope, across the vale which stretched out beneath them as far as the eye could see. It was breathtaking, Grim had to admit. Alariel's hidden vale was so large that it had its own mountain ranges, stretching off into cloudy distances. Each of these was draped in evergreen forests and hung with glittering waterfalls so pure that they hurt the eye to even look upon them. "All of Gairon, I am told, once looked as this does," Gardas continued softly. He extended a hand. "See how the trees glow, Loras. Have you ever seen the like? They are as bright as the stars themselves." Grim said nothing. Instead, he noted the arboreal citadels that sprouted from the entwined trunks of those distant trees, and silently calculated their size. They must be massive. But who resides there? The thought was not a pleasant one. He was not beguiled by the gossamer floating through the warm air, or the brightly hued fantail birds that swooped above through the coloured mist. If this was a paradise, it was not one meant for man. He turned and saw that the closest stormcasts were, like Gardas, enraptured by the strange beauty spread out before them. He slammed the butt of his halberd down on the rock, once, twice, three times. Every eye turned towards him.
"On your feet," he growled. "Do we come all this way to look at the flowers, then? Do we fight our way through forest and swamp so you could gaze at the greenery? Up! 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 Or I'll have Talon on you! Up!" he roared. "We still have a queen to find. Or did you forget? Up, I say!"
He turned towards Gardas.
"And you as well, Steel Soul. Up, Lord Celestant. There is an example to be set," he said, as he reached out a hand and hauled Gardas to his feet.
"I see something!"
Tegra shouted from above. The Prosecutor Prime swooped low over them in a wide circle.
"I see a grove down the slope, lined with standing stones of some kind, not like those we saw in the Gaiatract Fen."
Gardas looked in the direction that Tegras indicated, and then said,
"Lead on, O Sainted Eye.
That is as good a place as any to meet our hosts, if they are willing."
Grim formed the Steel Souls into a marching column. He left the others to their respective Lord Celestants. Savaclius's warriors split into bands and ranged out alongside the column of marching stormcasts, warily watching the trees that covered the lower part of the slope, while Ultradi's retinues followed the hallowed knights. Above them, Tegras and the other prosecutors drifted lazily through the air, keen eyes seeking any sign of danger. The storm hosts wound down the slope and through the trees that separated them from the grove Tegras had seen. Gardas led the way, Grim and Morbus close behind. Grim felt eyes on them the entire way, and every bird, insect, and beast fell silent at their approach. The stormcasts began to grow uneasy, and more than once Grim was forced to fall out of line and berate a warrior for hesitating in the face of the vast silence that had enveloped them. After the fifth such incident, as he rejoined Gardas and the Lord Relictor, he said,
"This place, it's waiting for something."
"It is not a place," Morbus intoned. "Not truly. It is Alariel's will made manifest, and we are intruders here. She is drawing back from our approach like a frightened beast."
"It is not us she fears," Gardas said.
He stared straight ahead as he moved, as if all of his attentions were fixed on a point beyond the sight of those who travelled with him. Grim shivered softly, for as Gardas spoke, the trees seemed to rustle in agreement. Alariel is not simply queen of the realm of life. She is life itself, inextricable and inseparable. Nurgle's advances upon her realm have wounded her most grievously, in mind and soul. He shook his head. Also, the Sylvaneth whispered to me as they bore me from the glade of horned growths. Since the Dark Gods invaded this realm, she has become withdrawn and cold, even from her most loyal servants.
Has she sealed herself away here, while her realm crumbles in anarchy and destruction?
Grim asked, incredulous. Did Sigmar not seal the gates of Azir? Gardas said softly. The mortal realms burned as Azir prospered. We were each of us plucked from places where we might have done good, might have helped those who counted on us, to be reforged on Sigmar's anvil. He met Grimm's disbelieving gaze and continued. I learned more than true names and hiding places while in Nurgle's garden, Loras. The ruinous powers weave lies with truth. He looked away and half raised his hand as if to clutch at his head. He looked up abruptly and said, We are here. Grimm saw the grove. It was lined with spiral-etched menhirs, and sunlight marked its center. Garda stared at it, as if uncertain of what to do next. Grimm looked at him.
What is it?
Gardas didn't meet his gaze.
Something is wrong, he said.
Grimm looked at Morbus, who shook his head.
Well, if it's a trap, one of us had best spring it, so we might move on, Grimm said.
He started forward, lantern raised and halberd over his shoulder. Talon made to follow him, but he shooed the Griffhound back.
No, my friend, he said. Stay. Guard.
He indicated Gardas. Talon whined softly, but did as the Lord Castellant bade. Grimm looked at Gardas.
Not going to stop me?
Could I? Gardas said. Grimm laughed.
Sigmar made you the sword and me the shield. And it's the shield's task to ward blows, he said, and turned back to the glade.
Without hesitation, he stepped between two menhirs. He strode towards the center of the glade. When he reached it, he turned in a slow circle, peering at the marks on the stones.
Warriors of the Sylvaneth, he called. We are here.
A soft, slithering sound filled the air. He froze, listening. A heartbeat later, a thicket of iron thorns shot up from the soft earth to ensnare him, tearing armor and flesh alike. Grimm bellowed in pain as he was hurled to the ground in a bloody heap. Outside of the ring of stones, Sylvaneth dryads burst from the trees with eerie shrieks to fall upon the stormcast Eternals. Warriors died in blazes of blue light, and Grimm cursed as he tried to pull himself to his feet. A talon of bark and thorn tore through his midsection, and he found himself wrenched into the air. He clutched at the talon with blood-slick fingers, fighting to free himself despite the agony. He turned his head and saw a lithe figure of vines and wood untwine itself from about the trunk of an elder oak. With a hiss, the creature tore its hand free of him and let him fall to the ground. It stepped towards him as he tried to reach for his fallen halberd. He heard talons screeching in rage and men screaming. Through blurring vision, he saw Gardas racing towards him and heard the Lord Celestant shouting. He saw the creature that had stabbed him unleash strangling vines upon Tegras and his prosecutors as they swooped to the attack. Pain thrummed through him, and his limbs felt like lead. His hand flopped to the blood-soaked soil, a mere finger-breadth from his halberd. He fought to reach out, to grab it, to no avail.
A trap, he thought blearily.
And then Loras Grimm knew no more.